Welcome to The Artist's Voice with Karen Hutton. This is a blogcast full of musings and bite-sized notions about finding your artistic voice in photography and the creative process. It's all on my blog at karenhutton.com. So without further ado, here's today's episode. Hey, I'm Karen Hutton, and welcome to episode 4 of the Everyday Genius of Your Artistic Voice, my 8-part series about bringing your artistic voice, your inner muse, into your everyday experience in photography. Today, we take a swan dive into the shark-infested waters of cameras and gear. Oh yeah, we brave. Okay then. Any good artistic voice conversation has to eventually come around to include gear. Now, some of you know that I have a tremendous aversion to doing that. I cringe every time someone starts the conversation in social media with, "What were your settings?" That glib part of me wants to answer, "My setting is delete this comment." But the smart part of me knows that those questions simply reflect a lack of education and understanding, which, sadly, is rampant in the photography world these days. Just an opinion. Honestly, though, I don't mind answering gear, settings, or any question, as long as it's from a certain framework of understanding. Otherwise, I'm just bored. The thing is, settings aren't the answer. They're part of the equation, but it's the part that should be much further down the line of importance than is currently the popular approach. I know, big words, right? I'm probably asking for trouble by saying them, but you know, I believe it. I just feel this way. This whole topic today also addresses kind of obliquely the enormous beef that I have with photo critiques in general and the supposed experts handing them out like candy every single day, crushing the creative impulses of budding artists and photographers around the globe. Cue enormous body shudder of repulsion. Don't get me started. Or do, but be prepared for the shred. But that's a rant for another day. For now, whether we're talking gear or critiques, the first question one should be asking is, what do you want to create? What do you love? And what feels good? I throw out all three since sometimes you don't have the words to explain it exactly, but there will be a feeling. You know how you want to feel, or you would if you took a moment, which is part of the whole preparation equation from our last post, and you know how you want to feel about creating images. So, you need to take a moment to feel those things before you make any decisions, before you pick up your camera, or anything. Let those feelings inform you, the questions you ask from them, the directions you look, what you notice photographically, what truly floats your boat will be dramatically affected by starting here. Your gear decisions, for instance, will be much more satisfying to your heart, soul, and muse than it will be by following anybody else's opinion. Work from the inside out. That's a life lesson too, by the way. Cameras. Okay, let's keep this simple. I think there are three really cool things about them. One, they create with light. How cool is that? I mean, what an elegant medium we get to work with. Frequency. I just love it. Number two, they're connected to us. We hold them in our hands and quite often put them right up to our face. I mean, short of having it implanted into our brains, which is really kind of a creepy thought, is about as close of a connection to our gear, to our paintbrush, as any artist can get. And number three, they allow us to convey our thoughts quickly. I mean, you can take a quick snap of something if you just want to remember it later, which is kind of like jotting down a note, only faster and more evocative. Or you can take your time and create a masterpiece, imbued with all the emotion, the thought, the soul, and the meaning that you can muster. But taking it further into how your creative muse and your artistic voice can help inform what camera will work for you, you want to consider the genre. In the interest of time today, I'll just mention the two genres that I aim to do with my gear and kind of take you on the journey of how I ended up with the camera gear that I have. My two areas are travel and landscape. So let's take travel first. When it comes to travel, you ideally want a smaller, lighter, lower profile camera. And that's for ease of use, staying within the airline weight restrictions, not being so obviously packing expensive gear, saving your back. I mean, the list is long, but those are just some of the considerations if you want to travel with your camera. And then when it comes to landscape, you might still want something smaller if you intend to backpack your gear If you tend to work not too far from your car, then perhaps that's not as much of a concern. But beyond the weight and the size, you'll likely need weather-sealed cameras for landscape, maybe some filters, a backpack, certainly a sturdy tripod, and maybe some other odds and ends that a strictly travel photographer doesn't have to worry about. Landscape is definitely a more gear-intensive side of photography, so you want to line up those considerations. Just a decision between travel and landscape will help you narrow the field of camera options considerably. That's genius because nowadays there are so many camera options it makes your head swim. And only by ruling out as many options as possible will you even get close to the right choice for you and stay sane in the process. But what if you want to do both travel and landscape? In answer to that question, yeah, there were still too many options for me to decide, so I had to narrow my field of vision even more. I added these to my list of considerations: form and function. Now, personally, I like a retro look and feel in my cameras, if at all possible. I way prefer buttons to menu diving. And ideally, I want a number of easily customizable buttons so that I can depend on muscle memory to quickly change settings and not have to stop and think about where to find a stupid setting in the menu system. Ergonomics were important. It had to feel good in my hand. Not only fit my hand, but, you know, feel good and feel inviting to pick up and use. That's very subjective, but is a consideration you'll have to make. Weather sealed. I might not need weather sealed for travel, but I sure as heck do for landscape. So if I had to choose one camera for both, it needed to have weather sealing. I also wanted a wide variety of lenses. Not everybody does, but I needed that. And that factors in when you're thinking about a camera, since you don't just buy the camera, you also buy the line of lenses that you can use with it. It's like you don't just marry the person, you marry their family. Best real life analogy I can think of. I wanted incredible images, you know, that curl my toes. The tone, the dynamic range, the color, they were all like, I had this idea in my mind. I could never have explained it with words, but the vision I had was so clear. And I wanted, when it came to color, I wanted a slightly different color palette than I'd really ever seen in a camera, and I had no clue where to find that. But hey, the heart wants what it wants, right? And finally, I wanted my camera to give me creative inspiration. I didn't want to have to do all the work. I mean, seriously, I don't know how to explain that any better, but I wanted to feel inspired by the gear itself. I figured if I was making a wish list, it might as well be a big one. You know what I'm saying? Now, a list that specific, so dialed into what I really, truly wanted with all my heart and soul, ruled out most camera gear on the market. So I never got confused. In fact, it was so specific that for a second there, I didn't even think my camera existed. Until, that is, a friend of mine suggested I try Fujifilm. And all of a sudden, bingo, a match made in heaven for me. Those were my considerations. Fujifilm aligned. There was no doubt. It was slam bam, thank you, ma'am. My jaw dropped. It hit the ground. I was in. There was no doubt, no waffling. But first, I had gotten my considerations in alignment with my creative muse, my desires, what I wanted to see and feel and experience, so it was all crystal clear. Lenses. So let's apply the same process to the lens selection. Now, like I said before, if the camera you're looking at comes with a wide variety, you're set. If not, but you still like the camera, then you need some further assessment to make sure that the few that they have will, you know, get where you want. So to keep this short, because there's about 1,000 trillion lenses out there in the world, I'll boil this down and give you two examples by range, the wider view and the telephoto view, and we'll consider them from the point of view of aligning the vision, feel, and emotion you want to create with your work to the gear that'll help you carry that out. So, wider effect lenses. For this conversation, I'm going to consider the range from maybe, let's say 10 millimeters, which is super wide, to around 35 millimeter, which is kind of mid-wide. With wide effect lenses, there is more in the frame. It tends to have more in focus, and you may have possible distortion depending on how wide you go and how you point the lens. Like, for instance, if you have a really super wide lens and you point it up at buildings, you know, like buildings in a city, the tops of the buildings will tend to lean in. And some people love that. Some people hate that. It really just depends on your creative vision. Now, images created from wider lenses will come with a feeling. Some of those could be epic, sweeping, expansive, the big view, grand, trippy, surreal. So if you love any part of that vision and the feelings that come with them, you'll want to seek out a wider lens. Simple. Now, telephoto lenses, let's call this range starting at roughly 70 millimeter and then goes on up to 500, 600, however big. And for our discussion, I'm going to include macro as well. Now, with these kinds of lenses, less is in the frame. They tend to focus your attention more. They create more compression, which means that distant objects appear closer than they really are. And if you have two distant objects, one further away than the other, the distance between them will compress. It's kind of an interesting effect, and some people love it. Depends on your vision. Telephoto type lenses show more detail, and they naturally offer a greater depth of field, which allows for some of those beautiful bokeh. Bokeh meaning that nice soft blur, the background kind of softly blurs out. They call that blur bokeh. Anyway, telephoto lenses, and especially macro lenses, are known for being able to create that. Images created from telephoto-style lenses might feel intimate, dreamy, up close and personal, super focused, the micro view, worlds within worlds, you know, that sort of thing. So if you're jonesing for this view of your world, then some type of telephoto lens is the right tool to create that vision and tell those stories. In honor of your time, I'm not going to go into any more detail than that about cameras and lenses. Of course, the conversation is much bigger and can go on for days, but let's not do that. Let's just for a moment consider other types of cameras and related gear, one of the most popular being your mobile phone. Maybe you want to use your phone only for photos. Well, that's great. Well, what do you want to do with it? Do you want to take better pictures in general? And what does that mean to you? What do you want to feel? Do you want to be able to zoom in more or go wider than your camera phone does natively? Perhaps our conversation about wider and telephoto really speaks to you in relation to your phone photography. And so maybe it gives you ideas about wanting to expand what you can do with yours. It's just knowing what you want and what you want more of and the direction you want to go. Maybe you want a little more education. My dear friend, Calibra Kelby, just put a fabulous course on iPhoneography on Kelby One. It's called, You Shot That With Your iPhone? I love that. But Android users will find it awesome as well. And I'll put the link to it in the Expand Your Mind section at the bottom of the written portion of this post. You do have to be a member of Kelby One, but they have a fantastic free trial. It's really good. And that would allow you enough time to see Calibra's course. It's only 90 minutes. And learn a ton from it. I did. I was blown away. I thought I knew how to use my phone, but I learned all kinds of stuff. Calibra only uses her iPhone and creates the most jaw-dropping images I've seen. It's incredible. I'll include the link to her website and the course below as well. Then, if you decide, well, heck, maybe I want to try lenses on my phone, you could look at Moment lenses, Olyclip, or a whole host of others. I mean, there really are so many, and I will include the links for some below. But my one piece of advice there are so many, use your inside-out approach to choose, or it will drive you insane. So by that, I mean, decide for you from inside, your creative muse, that little voice inside that knows what's right. Decide from there what would be fun to try, to create, what would feel good. And I don't mean over the next 5 years. You don't have to decide, you know, get paralyzed by if I choose now, what if I change my mind? So what? You're going to change your mind. Get used to it. I just mean next. What would be fun next? Keep it simple. Now, beyond camera, lens selection, and just photography in general, you may want to include video in your list of considerations. That's great. Apply the same system to choosing the camera that does video for you. Besides that, you may need a better mic, a way to download footage in the field. You may need a little bit of lighting, etc. Like I say, the field of options can seem infinite and, thus, confusing. My point about the entire thing is to start every single time with your artistic voice and vision. Put that first. Your preferences, your worldview, what you love, what you want to create, what feels good, all that stuff. Put that first. And let it lead the way. It will cut a swath through the field of seemingly infinite possibilities like you won't believe. It'll lessen your confusion and it'll cut down on all those distractions that come with considering gear. Not just the gear selection itself, but all those opinions about the gear. I mean, it's deafening. One thing I'd like to say about looking at someone else's opinion, I'm not against it, but Make sure that it's someone already successfully doing what you want and desire to do. And even then, only use them as a guideline. You know, maybe learning from their experience will help you avoid certain pitfalls along the way or whatever. But even then, remember, your muse comes first. This is your creation. This is your life. This is your vision. So use your own sensibilities, your own loves, desires, creative muse, like I say, to make the final decision, even if it's against popular opinion. You might look at popular opinion to find out what not to do. I do that half the time. So own what you know to be true for you. Learning to trust that will take you far, young weed hopper. Oh, I love this conversation. I hope you do too. And if you do, or even if you don't, let me hear your thoughts, your questions, feedback, and your own experiences in the comments below. I read them all and I love them. Remember to check out the Expand Your Mind section for further explorations. And by all means, subscribe to my newsletter while you're here to be kept in the know of the latest and greatest from our fun world over here. And I promise, no spam, no ma'am. Till next time, get out there and photograph with all your heart and soul. Bye for now.